Any other day, Lord, except for Easter Sunday, we thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We thank you that he rode triumphantly into Jerusalem, even though he knew what was ahead of him. We thank you for his great love for us, his great sacrificial love for each and every one of us. We thank you. And so we remember him today. And yes, he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we thank you. And our Holy Spirit, we ask you to come to be among us in this place. We invite you to come. Revive us again. Let us feel the Spirit of the Lord right here among us. We have heard it through the singing and through the children singing and through the music. God, speak now through your word. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength. You are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. You know, and Holy Week and Easter is here and is on its way, and one always have to think of new ways to say the same story, don't we? New ways. We always think of some text in the Bible that says the story, you know, of Jesus and his this Holy Week passion. I think many of you, even though you may not be Bible scholars or deep in the Word, we have all heard the story, this story this week. If there's any other story you know in the Bible, it's this story. Or we ought to know, shouldn't we? The story of Jesus coming into Jerusalem, and then, of course, what happens all week. You may not know exactly what happened all week, but if you've been following on Facebook, you will know what is happening all week, because I've been putting it on Facebook. What happens day by day of Holy Week. And so here we are. We are starting with Palm Sunday. And my sermon title is Lip Service or a Blessing. Lip Service or a Blessing. What are we giving Jesus? And what did they give Jesus? And so I read this brief reflection. And it says, and the writer writes about his experience. And he says, everybody loves a parade. I spent 10 of my growing up years in Savannah, Georgia, where my father was the pastor of a church. On March 17 of each year, Savannah has the second largest St. Patrick's Day parade in the country. The whole city turns out to the parade. They dye the river green. Everybody wears green. They eat green grits. Some drink green stuff, beverages. For several years, I went to the parade and enjoyed watching it. But then when I was in the 10th grade, I was in the ROTC military training, and I marched in the parade. No longer was I a parade watcher, a bystander. I became a participant. Everyone loves a parade. Anyone can be a bystander. Isn't that the truth? It takes a little something extra, though, to be a participant. So, friends, we know we love a good parade, but are we just always watching from the sidelines, or are we going to be a participant? They gave Jesus a parade in Jerusalem, a city filled with bystanders. There were not many who were willing to participate in Jerusalem. That parade they gave Jesus was an insult. In fact, many of them gave him lip service. What is lip service? Insincere agreement. To pay lip service is to consent in one's words while dissenting in one's heart. Do you know when someone gives you a lip service? I get that sometimes. Parents, we know when our children give us lip service. When you tell them you're just talking to you and they're saying something, and you know what they're saying is not what they're going to do. Don't you? Yes, mommy, I'm going to be home at my curfew at 10 o'clock. And you know that's lip service, because they're going to come home at midnight or whichever time they choose. To say that you agree with something, but to do nothing to support it. Many in the crowd on the first Palm Sunday was only giving Jesus lip service. They were caught up in the being spectators in a parade. We know this is true from the scriptures. We just heard the scriptures read, and it reminded us and it told us that they had gone to get the colt, his disciples, and that they untied it, and some asked, why did you need it? And then when they brought it to them, many people spread their cloaks on the ground, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. And then those who went ahead and those who followed there, they were shouting, Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming King of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest. One would think that for all that excitement, you know what Hosanna means? Save us. Save us, right? They were waiting for the Messiah. Not the kind of Messiah they would get, but they were waiting for the Messiah. They were excited. They were calling out. You would think that everybody there really meant what they were saying. But you know how we know that they didn't mean what they were saying? Because it only took about 4 days later. It is Palm Sunday. Then there's going to be Monday of Holy Week, and then Tuesday of Holy Week, Wednesday of Holy Week. By Thursday of Holy Week, what happened? The whole crowd shouted, away with this man. Release Barabbas. And Barabbas was a criminal, and wanting to release Jesus, Pilate appealed to them, and they kept shouting, crucify him, crucify him. It would only be 4 days between, from excitement, Hosanna, to crucify him. So you know for sure that what they were saying on Palm Sunday, they were only caught up in the excitement of it, many of them. There were some there who were probably real genuine. What about us today? The triumphal entry, which inaugurates Passion Week, is a deliberate messianic action. Jesus purposefully offers himself as the Messiah, knowing that this would provoke the Jewish leaders to take action. So here we are, friends, on this Palm Sunday, and we are reminded. And so Jesus comes in, he knows better. He knows that everybody there does not want him to be the Messiah. They're caught up in the frenzy of it. My little kid has left their bells here. God, I'm breaking the bells. We don't want to do that now, do we? The little chimes here. I'm going to rest them here. And so here we are on this Palm Sunday, and we ourselves have to examine our own intentions and why we're here to rejoice. Why we're here to say Hosanna. Are we just here for the parade, or do we know what Jesus did for us? So friends, I want to introduce you to another story. We know the Hosanna story, the Palm Sunday story, is very popular. We know it. Don't we? We all know it. But there are other stories, and there is this particular story that we don't know so well that would happen a few days before Jesus died, on Wednesday or Tuesday of Holy Week. And Scripture tells us this story, which is in the Passion narrative this week, that there was a woman who would come to see Jesus. See? Because we celebrate Palm Sunday with the waving of palms, we sometimes walk away from this, and then there are many people, not those of you who are here all the time, who don't remember it again. Don't remember our relationship with Jesus Christ. But this woman, she must have met Jesus somewhere along the way as he was going to Galilee. And in some of the texts, they call her a sinner woman or a sinful woman. But Jesus had touched her life, met her somehow, and she had heard him, and her sins had been forgiven. Do you know how we know? The Bible tells us that she enters Simon's house. Now, here's why this is complicated. She was a woman. The men were meeting, the rabbi, and the other men. Woman, this is how this woman was bold. Women were never allowed to enter a place where the men and the rabbis were meeting. They're not allowed. I forgot what they call them. When they go to prayer, even right now, very Orthodox too, it's with an M, and I forget the name of it. And they need like 9 men or 12 men, and no woman can come. They go to Bay, a Mish something. Minium, exactly, the minium. And women are not allowed there, just men. And even today, right, in very Orthodox. So she was not allowed to enter, first thing. And she was a sinful woman, whatever they meant by that. Secondly, when she entered the house, they were upset. Simon was upset. Like, what are you doing here? But she didn't care. She came to give her thanks. And scripture tells us that when she came in, she knelt at his feet. Now she had an alabaster box of oil. Now the alabaster box was made from the stones from Solomon's temple. It was real stone. And in it would be the oil. And it cost a lot of money. And every woman would have one, maybe for dowry, maybe for whatever reason. In it was the best perfume, and it was sealed. Right? It took a year's wages to purchase that for a person. So that was a precious thing for her. It wasn't left over. She didn't get it at the 5 and dime. Right? She didn't get it at Walmart, although maybe you could get wonderful things at Walmart. She really got it at a Heinz store. It was well made. And it took nothing off her to bring it to Jesus. And the Bible tells us she knelt at his feet. With all those men staring at her. If you see the picture. And if you understand New Testament history, how taboo that was. And how she was breaking down barriers. They couldn't stop her. She walked in. She knelt down. And she began to cry at his feet. No words. And the tears begin to come from her face. And the Bible says she washed his feet with her tears. And in those days like now, woman's hair is a great, is their possession. It's a wonderful possession. Now, not to add to the story, this is not in the Bible, but we women of color would say, I saw the woman one day downstairs, and I knew that Linda was looking at me because I made them all laugh. I said, one of the ladies who come in, I says, oh, today your hair is purple. Last week it was just a blonde. She was a sister. So I turned to them in the room. I says, you can't mess with us. We our hair could be any color we want and any length. I says, one week we're Indian, next week we're Jamaican. It doesn't matter because we love to hear. And whether we buy it, stitch it in, glue it in, draw it, it's still our hair. It's important to us over here, right? Our here is important, and we know, and some of you, we are very bold on that. Tomorrow I could come in here, my hair could be all the way down here. You better not say anything about it. Because in essence, it's my hair. So here is important to women. It has been important then, and it's important now. Part of our beauty, right? You don't want to be a bald woman walking around. You could be a bald man, but you can't be a bald woman, right? And she took that beautiful hair. And in those days, the hair was the femininity of a woman. And the Bible says she knelt down, and as she cried at his feet and washed his feet with her tears, she used her hair to dry it. Because she had come to give back to him. A songwriter writes this song, Cece Wyman, she talks about the alabaster box. She says, don't be angry with me because I've come to worship him. You weren't there the night Jesus found me. You weren't there the night that he saved me. I've come to give him all the praise I have from my alabaster jar. You don't understand the relationship. You don't understand what he has meant to me. There is nothing more worthy for me to do than to use my best to give him. My very best. What's in the alabaster box and my hair. Now here's another taboo. With a rabbi, bodily fluids should not touch a rabbi. Right?
your tears and so, because a rabbi are called to do God's work, right? And you should not be sneezing on them or crying over them, especially in those days. And these are historical facts. So for her, she had crossed every theological or cultural lines just to get to Jesus to say thanks. She pushed through just to say thanks to him. And so the disciples get mad. They get angry, didn't they? And they said, why are you using that money? Those denarii could feed the poor. And Jesus said, the poor you'll always have with you. Poor you'll always have with you. But me, him, you're going to only have for a little while. And he says, as long as the scriptures are read, as long as the word go forth, we will be talking about this lady forever. Could you imagine? That's what the end of the text is saying. We will be talking about what she has done because she anointed him for his burial. Somehow, God had used this woman to anoint Jesus for his burial. And she came to give him the full blessing. Did she know that he was going to die? No. Now for each of us, friends, this is Palm Sunday, isn't it? And we have come to worship the Lord, but it's about much more than coming in and waving the palms. This is important to us to wave the palms. But do we give him our best? Because he has given us his very best. When we accept him as our Lord and Savior, it is a gift freely given. No charge, no money. Just say yes to him. And he says yes to us. And so therefore we are reminded in this text that Jesus expects something from us. He was very pleased that this woman did it. That's why he spoke up for her. This woman who had been now saved did something in his honor. Did something to embalm him. Friends, on this Palm Sunday, what about us? What about us? What do we do for Jesus after we leave here? After Easter Sunday is over, is something has to change in our lives. Today is Palm Sunday and the King is coming. The King is coming and no one can remain neutral. We can't remain neutral being reminded of the story. The King is coming and someone, each and every one of us must decide what Jesus means in our life. We are reminded again on this Palm Sunday that he came into the world to die. The King is coming and we must make up our minds about him. There are people who have gone to church for a long time, but they haven't made up their mind about Jesus. They're still on the fence, right? Someday Jesus, someday not Jesus. You can't listen to the news about Jesus. You can only read the word about Jesus, right? We have to always make up our mind. The King is coming and we can no longer remain the same. Something got to give. If we have never changed our ways or really focused on our faith journey, Holy Week reminds us that we must do that. If we're doing it, Holy Week encourages us to continue to do it or even to do it what? Better. Right? Because Jesus died for us. Friends, something has to change in our thinking. Something has to be different about our loyalties to Jesus. Something has to be renewed about our commitment. Now, friends, I know the world has a lot of activities for us to do. And we got to do this, and we got to do that, and we got to do that. And then sooner or later, Jesus is way at the bottom of the page. If you have Jesus way at the bottom of the page, friends, on this Palm Sunday, we need to what? Remember to bring him at the top of the page. Do you know, somewhere he's got to be at the top of the page. Because guess what? All the things we do and all the excitement, when push comes to shove, sickness comes and trouble comes, the only one we're going to be able to call on is Jesus. Nobody else but Jesus. Nothing else. We've always got to find a spot to put him up there and to give him our very best. Whatever that best is. Right? Because we're all different people. Have children, they have jobs. But we know what our best is. Because he has already given us his very best. Let's not be confused by what the enemy tells us, the evil one, who's always trying to talk to our brain, oh no, you could go to this thing. Why not go to this thing and don't come to church? Why not go to this thing and don't serve God? Why not? And then when hell breaks loose in your life, guess what? The evil one is gone. Gone completely. From all the times that I have been in hospitals and nursing home, talking to people who are sick and needed a prayer, I never heard anyone said, you know, I call my job for me because they're going to help me. Never heard that. They always want a prayer, right? They always say to you, could you pray for me, whatever it may be, no matter what the faith, because God is faithful. And we have to understand it. And this Palm Sunday, as we rejoice, as we sing this Palm Sunday, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as we are singing something else of it, He is Lord. As we sing it, we must. Palm Sunday will not let us rest, will it? It confronts us. Palm Sunday should confront us, right? That we have to make a choice. Palm Sunday reminds us that Jesus is on His way to His death. That's what He's on His way to, Palm Sunday reminds us. To His death. So that you and I have the hope of eternal life. You and I. On this Palm Sunday, you know, I'm always hopeful, even though sometimes you get a little bit scared about life. But if I hope in Christ. And I know you all hope in Christ. That's why you're here. But a friend of mine who I haven't seen in a long time, he was in my ex-husband's friend. He was in my wedding party many years ago. And he was 61. He was 66, I'm sorry. He's 69. Sorry. And I just heard that he passed away. Last week they called me from stomach cancer. So a friend called me from Florida and they were telling me, I haven't seen him in a while, and she says, you know, Carl has been, he's been in church and he accepted the Lord because he used to be wild, let me tell you. Carl used to be wild. I mean, we're not saints, I won't tell you the rest of my story, but we were young couples and we went to parties and we, you know what I'm saying, we weren't bringing the Hosanna and the thing every Sunday, you know, because we were young couples, we were all married around the same time. My cousin Howard who passed and Carl were all in our different weddings. And, you know, we had our parties, you know, nice party. We sang Kumbaya, if you believe that. And so we went out and we did all of that. And we, sometimes on a Sunday morning, we wouldn't be getting up to go to church. Can I be? Because we're tired and we'd be sleeping. But thank God that God is faithful, isn't it? Right? That God is faithful. I say to people all the time, if God was to tell all of our stories, I'll start with my story. It would be something else, right? So she was telling me, I hadn't seen Carl, and God, he was wild, I'm telling you what. Had lots of girls, even though he's married. Oh, God, pray for him, he's in heaven now. But she called me and she says, you know, Carl had become a Christian. She says, you know, since he's been in the church, he's been reading and so on. And then she said, when he got sick last year, and he had called me about my cousin, but he didn't say how sick he was. He said to her, do you know I'm following Jesus, I've accepted, but I'm so afraid. She was afraid of what was coming. We didn't know. He says, I'm so afraid. And she was telling me on the phone. So I said to her, I said, Zelaine, we're all afraid. We're afraid of the process of death. I says, I'm afraid of the process of death because we don't know it's going to go. I says, Carl wasn't telling you that he's going to be afraid of where he was going to go. He was afraid of I says, it's okay to be afraid. But here's the good news, I said to her, that we could hold on to. That Carl, who had accepted Jesus, got his life turned around, he has crossed over. It's been taken care of. That 1 minute, taken care of. And I says, we can rest in that, even though we have lost a good friend. That fear for that one little moment was gone because of his belief in Jesus. Palm Sunday reminds us of that. The hope of what's going to happen on Easter Sunday. Don't you get excited to think that he died for us? To think that I can have a hope that this friend of mine, who I'd known for many years, long before I was married as a young girl, that is now in heaven with the Lord, because he accepted him as his Lord and Savior. Right? So we give God thanks and praise. Because here we are. Today, if we have not accepted Jesus, Jesus wants us to what? Follow him and to serve him. He's not asking for much more. To follow him and to serve him. To give him our best. Whatever our best is. Because he knows. Because he has already done the rest. Friends, we can rejoice today, can't we? Because we're here alive and well. So when we wave the palms today and when we sing today, we do it joyously because we know that we are saved. Saved from damnation and saved from the eternal death. Thanks be to God for Jesus Christ. Amen.